Good evening. If you have your Bibles, would you open, please, to Genesis chapter 6? And I talk a little loud sometimes, so maybe you want to turn down a little bit. We have been talking these Wednesday nights and on Sundays about faith. And I hope that some of the things that we're saying are not new, but I also pray that some of the things that we're saying are fresh. Some of the little private conversations I've had in between some of the meetings makes me think I need to back up just a little bit as we talk about faith, so we make sure that after all these weeks and meetings about faith that not only are we on the same page, but that we're on the right page spiritually. We've talked about several things about faith. First of all, we've been looking at Noah and his faith. And one of the very first things that we saw is that real faith knows how to walk. Real faith has feet. And one of the very first lessons that we presented was how to recognize when a person's faith has feet. Does anybody remember that? Please. Anybody? Found in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It's the very first lesson. We're not going to give any tests, but that would have been a good question for a test. Real faith agrees with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, if we're not in agreement with God, what we're saying is we don't have faith in God. Which brings me to a point. A lot of people confuse Bible faith with faith in faith. And faith in faith is very popular today. Faith in faith goes something like this. If you believe hard enough, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. If you believe hard enough, it'll happen. And if it doesn't happen, somebody will say, well, you just didn't believe hard enough. Then you try again. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. And you get disappointed. You know, that's faith in faith. You see, the very first evidence of real faith, remember we said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but real faith has both evidence and substance. And one of the evidences of faith is that it agrees with God. If you're in disagreement with God, it's a lack of faith. You following me? It's very important. Because sometimes we hear people get disappointed with God because things don't happen like they wanted them to happen. They said, I had so much faith that he would do that. Now, wait a minute. Faith is being in agreement with God. Not making up my mind or you making up your mind on something. It's finding out what God said and then agreeing with God. Now, everybody else said it wasn't going to rain, but God said it was going to rain. And Noah decided he was going to agree with God. That was going to rain. Excuse me. And so then he began to act on that. And so he was in agreement with God. Those that were not in agreement with God drowned. And you might say they didn't have enough faith. That would be good. Or another way is they disagreed with God. Either way. During the days of George Mueller... Is that water good up there? I'm having technical difficulties. During the days of George Mueller, Brother Mueller was exercised by God to make an orphanage for boys and girls. Everybody's heard of that? Maybe what you haven't heard of is during the same time that Mueller was building orphanages, there were others that said, I could do that. That's a good idea. What you don't read about is the other orphanages that attempted to operate and failed. Big difference between those orphanages and the one in Bristol that Mueller built. One was God's idea and the others were man's idea. Just because Peter walked on water doesn't mean that you can. Peter walked on faith. The Bible tells us that Peter asked that if it be the Lord, that he would bid him come. You remember? And what did the Lord say? Come. Peter acted on that word. He stood on that word, come. You can do anything God asks you to do. If God asks you to come, you can't say, I can't come. You can come. He never asks you to do something you can't do. He'll only ask you what you can do. He'll empower you to do it. Now, if coming is your idea, and he didn't ask you to come, you better get out the water wings. You're likely to drown. And everywhere we see people disappointed in their faith by doing something that they thought was going to be great for God. You see, the ark wasn't Noah's idea. He wasn't saying, hey, I know what, I want to do something great for God. I know what I'll do. I'll build me an ark. No, it wasn't his idea, it was God's idea. And as hard as building the ark was, thank you so much, brother. It was an almost impossible task, but he did it. By the grace of God, he did it. But when it was done, it was only what God asked him to do. He really couldn't step back and say, boy, I am really something else. He's, as the Lord Jesus said, after all is said and done, just an improbable servant. He did what God asked him to do. And I think it's very important, because sometimes we say, if I just believe hard enough, God is obligated to heal my brother. God is obligated to raise up my sister. No, he's not. No, he's not. God will always keep his word. And all we need to do is find out what that word is. And if God says, he's going to take my brother, I have no right to wrestle with God. I need to be in agreement with God. Do you understand that? That's very important, because there's a whole denomination that has taken this idea of faith and used it to sort of blackmail God, as to say, we're gonna dream up something really outrageous and fantastic. Now God's obligated to do it because we have faith. There's no doily up here, but I think that'll be okay. So that's important. Very first thing now, that's the first question on the test now. Faith is in agreement with God. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. So faith, real faith has feet, real faith walks. Remember now, real faith has substance and real faith has evidence. The second thing we saw is that real faith works. Real faith works. What good is a thing if it doesn't work? It does. It works. Real faith works. As a matter of fact, James said, faith without works is what? Is dead. In other words, it's not faith at all. And so, it's not an icon. It's not a plastic statue. And for some people, faith is not manipulating God and making him do miracles. Faith is plastic statues and hocus pocus and superstition. What does it do? Well, it doesn't do anything. But it sure looks good. Now, real faith works. Real faith works. And we saw that all these things Noah did. And you know what? Your life, my life is what we do. Time's running out. God put us in this world for a reason, to find him and find his word and do what it says. Simple as that. Some of us are going to die young, some are going to die later. The Lord Jesus only spent 33 years in this world. If you died when you were 33, you'd have been gone long ago. You had all this extra time. So he had 33 years. Of course, he was the Word. And he did the Word because he was the Word. But our goal is to find the word and then do it. And then when it's all over and we stand at that pearly gate and on the streets of gold, the question will be, did you do it? Did I do what? I wrote it down and I told you what to do. Oh no, I missed it. Don't miss it. Find out what God wants you to do and then do it. Real faith walks. Real faith works. Last time we saw real faith waits. The name Noah means rest. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. You see, real faith rests. Not on Mount Ararat, but on Mount Calvary. And it settles down. It settles down, saved from judgment, and it rests. Are you resting in Him? Real faith knows how to rest. And so, if we've learned nothing else, I hope we've learned those three things. Now we come to the fourth aspect of faith. Real faith worships. Real faith worships. Acts. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah. The problem is never that God forgets us. The problem is that we forget God. And the ark, verse 4, rested in the seventh month. And the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. Then we saw in verse 10, he stayed. And verse 12, he stayed some more. And what was he staying for? What was he waiting for? What are you waiting for? Verse 15. And God spake unto Noah. He was waiting for God to speak. He was waiting for God to speak. Go forth, thou and thy wife, and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 18. And Noah went forth. When God speaks, are you going to do what he says? God said, go forth. And he went forth. Some of us are still waiting to do, even after God tells us to do. Say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And God shows us and we still hesitate. Verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Have you ever been to the tailor and took your suit? It wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to be. And so the tailor, what did he do? Are you with me? Hello. What did he do? He altered it. What does that mean? That means he took the sleeve up just a little bit. He took the waistline out just a little bit. You know what it is. Ladies, you brought your skirt and he took the hemline up or he let it out, you know, just a little bit. What did he do? He altered it. Well, here in Genesis chapter 8, I find what I call... alterations. A-L-T-A-R-A-T-I-O-N-S. And I believe that makes the difference between those who have real faith and those that don't. Real faith knows how to worship. And real worship, hello, real worship always involves alterations. You with me? Not alterations with an E, A-L-T-E-R. That's just a little up here and a little in here and a little over there. No, I'm talking about alterations. The kind that the Apostle Paul spoke about. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And there are some... I am having technical difficulty, I'm sorry. Who never really get anywhere because they never get to the altar. You know what happens at an altar? Sacrifice. If you were alive in the days of the tabernacle, the very first thing you would see when you'd walked into the tabernacle was what? The brazen altar. You couldn't get any further until you first saw the brazen altar. The brazen altar was a place of slaughter. It is the first step into the tabernacle. It's the first staging area and step of faith. We come to Calvary. That's how we come into the relationship with God. And first we come to Calvary. That's the altar of altars. But once we've done that and we found that we are saved in Him and that all of the holocaust and the fury of heaven fell on Him as the flood fell on the earth, after we realize that we are now safely resting not on Ararat but on Calvary, the first thing we do when we come out is we worship Him. An altar. And I'm afraid that many people think they worship and they don't go out. They go out no different than what they came in. And there were no alterations at all. Ingemar, what in the world are you talking about? What I'm talking about is every time we open the book, be prepared for alterations. Something to be altered by God. We cannot become what God wants us to be if we insist on remaining what we are. So what about, I thought we were okay. My friend, if you were okay, God would have taken you home already. He's not finished with you yet. He must have some alterations still to do with us. And those alterations are always based on His dimensions, on His word. Verse 15, and God spoke unto Noah, saying... What does God say? Vet and I like to go out every week. Usually we're out on Tuesday nights, visitation. And we went out on Tuesday night, visited a 40-year-old lady. And I tell you this to make an application. It's always a good week when we see someone come to Christ. And talked to this lady just for a little while and then asked her one of the EE questions, and that is basically, do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? And her response was, yes, I'm sure. And that's great, which after a brief discussion led us to the second EE question, and that is, if you were to stand before God and he would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you tell him? Well, at that point, she said, well, I would tell him that I'm a believer. I believe. I said, well, what do you believe? Well, I just believe. I just believe in him. And it became obvious that she had a faith in faith. Or a faith in feeling good about something. And so anyway, I'll make a long story short. We would attempt to lead her into the Word, and let's see what God says about being sure and how a person could be sure. And went through the Word of God, and we had the joy of seeing her at her dining room table pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into her heart and save her. And it's always a wonderful week when that happens. And so that's wonderful. And I tell you that to say that faith is based on not your feelings, but it's based on what God said. And when we see what God says and we agree with it, then we begin the walk. And then if we agree with it, we begin the work. And if we agree with it, then we begin the rest or the waiting. Of course, while we're here, we're waiting for his coming, that blessed appearing of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're waiting for. But we also, for the first time in our life, if we are in faith, begin to worship. And what is this worship all about, and what does it involve? Three things. Three things are recalled and recognized in worship. Number one, God is faithful, found in verse 1. And God remembered Noah. When we worship, one of the first things we recall, one of the first things we recognize, one of the first things we remember, God is faithful. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, that is the anthem. That's what you can count on. That's what Abraham was counting on. It was not Abraham's faithfulness, although real faith is faithful. He was counting on one fact, is that God will do what God says he's going to do, because God is faithful. And God remembered Noah. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Let's just take a look at one verse. It's all through the Bible. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. It goes from the beginning of the Bible to the end, this anthem, God is faithful. And of course, the Lord Jesus is our faithful high priest. The second is that God is merciful. The first is God is faithful. The second is God is merciful. Verse 4, and the ark rested on the seventh month upon the mountains of Ararat. Last time we pointed out that Ararat means holy ground. God is merciful. In the midst of all that flood, in the midst of all of that destruction, in the midst of all that desolation, there was a place for Noah and his family. And don't you know that Noah realized that he had been spared and that God was merciful to him and to his family? The third thing that we remember, and recall and realize in worship is in verse 11. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf. God is good. God is good. The leaf symbolizing peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. God is good. The raven didn't come back. Why? That would be like question number 7. Why didn't the raven come back? Well, the raven didn't come back because of its nature. It liked rotted things, and carrion, and dead carcasses and stuff like that. And found things like that in the world. The dove went out and didn't like what it saw, and he came back. And then Noah sent it out again, and he came back again. This time came back with something good. Came back with an olive branch. And in the beginning, we see that God remembered Noah. In the end, we see that Noah remembered God. And he remembered that God is faithful, God is merciful, and God is good. He built an altar. We need to build the altar, family altar and personal altar. And we need to stop at the altar in the morning. And we need to stop at the altar at night and remember that God is faithful, God is merciful, and God is good. And when we do that, going to His Word, we will experience alterations. He'll take us up here and let us out there and cinch us up here. And send us out there and bring us in here. Alterations. And that should be our prayer. Lord, alter me at the altar to be what you want me to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one that's come out on this night. Thank you for the altar of altars, the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the victory and the triumph of our Savior there. Thank you, Lord, for altars that we see in the Bible, and also for alterations that you're doing in our lives and that you've done. Help us to see those things that need attention. And then, Lord, help us to act on those and to do the thing that you ask us to do. May our faith be found